Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get shungite to the masses. You are entering the shungite zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Welcome to the Shungite Reality Show. It's being recorded on May 27, 2025. My name is Nancy Hopkins, and with me is Derek Condon and Mark Joseph. And today we're going to cover, we don't know what else will come up, but we're going to cover what Derek's been busy doing that's so critical on the bees. So I'm just going to turn it over to you, Derek, and you can kind of like let people know what's happening there.
Yeah, sure. What we're talking about is, I think it was this week, just published a new book, The Natural Beekeeper's Path, it's called. And then it's actually, there's a kind of a subtitle, but Treatment-Free Practices for a Living World. And it's, just as it says, it's a whole book. It's in print as well, but it's available for free on the book's title's website, which is thenaturalbeekeeperspath.com. And then again, you can download the PDF version there. Or if you're interested, the paperback version is available at mysticalwares.com or Amazon. But we're going to talk about, I'm kind of scrolling through right now, some of the various topics we talk about in here. And it's all about, of course, treatment-free beekeeping. There's a whole section or chapter on shungite as well, of course. But it gets into other topics such as using medicinal mushrooms, colloidal silver. And it's still talking about just the book, but additional chapters in the book or parts are, we get into the evolution of beekeeping. I'm not sure if we exactly decided on which chapters we're going to go through today. And I'm kind of scrolling down because I get into parts and pieces of it where you can, you know, decide which type of apiary and or beehive is good for your environment. And then even placement of the beehive. So Nancy, did you have an actual, I think you mentioned it before the show, chapter you wanted to focus on initially?
Well, in the final version of the PDF that I have here, beginning, I think, at page 100, that's mm-hmm. when you started to talk specifically about the shungite. But you also brought in a whole lot of other information that I honestly hadn't thought about it, like the concept of, we'll just scroll down on the subjects on it, but the one that I first noted was the sounds. I mean, we know there's sounds associated with the bees, but you go into a really interesting discussion, and if you just read it, that's fine, but, you know, it's a discussion of the sounds and the smells. I didn't really think of bees having, you know, smell receptors.
Yeah, and their feet and whatnot. I'm trying to find those because it's a different page number. Mark, let me know if you find this section so I can go directly to it. I'm looking through there now on which chapter, because you said page 100. So
it's 100 in the PDF. I don't know what it is in the book.
Okay, because I'm in the shungite, but I don't think it's in that section. And because I did this and patchworked it so many different ways before I published, right now, and I'm talking to the listeners, it's hard for me to exactly jump straight to it in that chapter, this section, because things got moved last minute. But we're going to find it because it's in here. Because right now I'm going through talking, and this is still good here anyway. I'm explaining in here why you'd want shungite on your beehive and how to actually do it. And then the next chapter, which may be where you're talking.
Chapter 16, Hive Harmony.
Okay. There we go. Hive Harmony. That's exactly where I'm at. So, yeah, the different. So, again, anybody listening, regardless of when you're listening to this, there is a free version of this book. the Natural Beekeeper's Path, available on our website, like I mentioned. We're down on, looks like probably page 95 on the final version. I gave Nancy an early release, so that's why her
Oh, it's
numbers.
94. That is 95. You're right. You're correct.
So yeah, chapter 16, Hive Harmony, Sacred Geometry, Energy Tools, and Bee Medicine. And I'm not gonna go through and read the chapter, everyone. But we'll jump through these sections, and a little bit down, there's an area that I describe as sound frequencies in the hive. That's one part I'm gonna go ahead and read, and we can talk about. But each caste, so each type of bee, be it worker, drone, or the queen, or whatnot, produces distinct sound profiles. So the queen's pipe in high-pitched tones, workers buzz, fan, and hum with varied frequency ranges depending on the task and context. And now I'm going to kind of paraphrase in as I read this stuff. I'm basically saying, as I mentioned, that each type of bee, or it's called a caste, of bee, vibrates or hums or fans, and all these different things produce a frequency regardless of the way it's produced, depending on the type of bee, like I was saying. So the overall hive hum changes with the mood, or the contentment of the hive. And that's where, and again, everybody, I'm not reading this word for word here. I'm going to just jump in all the time. That's where I'll read my hive, before we go out there. So I'll approach the hive. First, and I'm not going to go into this too deeply now, but I'll calm myself. I'll find a good state of being that I want to be in, so I'm not too disruptive to that hive out there that has tens of thousands of other entities in it, little bees. So you don't want to be disruptive from that perspective. But you'll feel it. You can literally, and I'm talking about anybody, so you don't have to be, and I'll throw air quotes here, energy sensitive. It's a thing. And yeah, sometimes you'll feel it in just a subtle hum in the environment. Sometimes you'll feel it, sometimes you'll hear it, all different ways, just like your food in front of you. You don't just smell it, see it, taste it. You pick up on it on all different senses. Same thing with the bees. So maybe one time you'll feel a hum, a buzz. Maybe you'll feel a emotion, believe it or not. And I don't talk about that in the book, but I will. An emotion come over you as you approach the hive, and or think about it, by the way. And that'll be you tuning in, so you get some input from that. So basically, when you're approaching the hive, yeah, I mean, perceive it, feel it. I mean, and you'll know if it's a state of anxiety, if there's a wasp attack going on, or a different beehive attacking that one. There's all kinds of things that can happen, or there's a mouse in there. You'll feel that from the hive because they'll have a different tone or feeling to them. And that's, I'm trying to now jump kind of back in here.
Let me just jump in here because when Catherine Tacon had been with us, I think it was, months ago, and she had started Shungite beehives, she was saying that something's going wrong. It's not working right. And I tried to get her back before she came back this last time just to find out where she was with it. And her aha moment while you were having the conversation really boiled down to the fact that she wasn't the one that was the beekeeper. She had brought in a company that this is what they do. And the company itself saw it as a business and were in there doing whatever they do as fast as they could. And that's why she was not having the Shungite wasn't working to her. But no, the Shungite was working. It's just that they were being overwhelmed by this essentially negative vibration. And I mean, you can talk about this in any kind of a situation, but it was so, it was my, I had an aha moment too when she said that. I'm going, okay, so it's not the Shungite that's failing. It's the fact that from the very beginning, she had not considered, who's the beekeeper. And, if you want to be a beekeeper, you can't do it. Am I correct? It's very difficult to make money in doing beekeeping.
Oh yeah, you're not going to really make any money doing that. Nobody I know does.
So you have to, it's got to be a dedication, that you really want to participate in an ecosystem that is by itself almost perfect. Well, it is perfect. It just has a lot of problems around it. So, no, but okay, so keep going down, Derek. I just wanted to point out that that was so critical because she was doing everything right except who's the beekeeper.
Yeah, no, so in the next section in the book there, and I've already talked about it just now too. So attuning to the hive energies, that's why I say not just with your ears, but with presence. You'll feel the hive's mood. And then I'll start kind of reading a little bit again here. But treatment-free beekeepers often rely on these subtle cues more than visual inspections. And that's what I do is I'll go out there. I don't just walk out there when I'm checking on the hives and go yank the roof off, the top of the hive and look down in there. I'll observe, approach the hive, and I'll watch and see, okay, well, a bunch of bees coming and going, and they doing their thing right? And am I seeing other issues around the hive? You got to take note and then decide if you want to disrupt them because it is a disruption. Again, just like us in our houses, if the roof of your house gets yanked off and all of a sudden, somebody's, poking around and I'm grabbing them and the frames and this, that, and the other. It's very disruptive. So you don't always have to open them, but feel it, approach it. And each hive can be different. And just a little update kind of in the middle of this on the current shungite beehives on my property, they're doing great. It's still, what is it, May 27th. So it's still early in the year here or spring. And they're expanding. They've got two boxes high. They haven't filled the top box, but they're just now starting to expand into it. So they have their base box and they're getting their second one now. And they're doing fantastic. There's no sicknesses or disease or anything like that. So that's good news on that update. And then kind of jumping back in here when you, and actually, so I talked in there a little bit about the swarm. And you'll know that too, because you'll feel and you'll hear it too. Not the swarm, well, you'll hear that as well, but I mean, beforehand, just a heightening. There'll be like the buzz or the hum of the hive will get turned up and it'll just start getting how we would say just a higher frequency and faster. And then something's going on. And all of us have that same feeling when we get anxious or something's going on. I'm not saying we all sit there and hum and tone, but well, if you think about it, you kind of do in your thoughts and energy field. It kind of just starts think, shaking. Not that it really shakes, but that's one way to describe
You say in there that the new queen that comes out, I mean, you don't get into the swarming situation until you do have a new queen. Is that normally typical?
ahead. More often than not, yeah, unless yes, because the queen's out there trying to draw attention and and mate. And then she can either come back to that hive or go somewhere else. Or maybe there was a second or third queen that got that was born and they took off and they take a portion of the hive. So there's a lot of scenarios, but yeah, they don't just swarm for fun. No, they'll swarm. They're following the queen bee, period. That's when they'll swarm. They're never going after attacking something. That's not a swarm. That's a bunch of bees attacking something. No, a swarm is, yeah, when the queen bee's sending off certain pheromones and drawing them out there to either say, hey, we're moving places, or I need to mate.
Well, you said that she actually comes out and makes a humming sound, or only the queen can make this one sound.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the drones can only do their frequency in our energy, speak on Shungite Reality Podcast. So, I'm always kind of jumping on how I'm saying things, but because I have to. But yeah, she can only do that. I mean, you'll know the queen's song when she sings it. That's a thing. And then
Have
so everybody has.
you ever actually heard it?
No, uh-uh. Now, oh, you can't because she's up there. You don't even see her. What you see is when she's flying, the video that we've talked about a few times, had on the podcast, where we have video of it in my Darrington place where there is an actual swarm happening of Shungite bees. So she's one bee up in there, who the heck knows where. And what we hear is the overall song of all the other bees around her. But they don't, yeah, it's They're attuned to her. And
No,
so she
I was thinking in the hive itself when she comes out.
No.
No, it's too low.
Oh,
Humans.
yeah, it's too much noise when there's 20, 30, 40, 50,000 other things making noise in there.
You just can't hear it because it's not loud enough.
Yeah. I mean, maybe somebody stuck a microphone down before she came out and recorded it at some, university. I don't know. We can look that up later. That could be a thing. But I mean, not that I know of, and I've never done it, so but I haven't done it all. And then I jump into the same chapter here. There's scientific observations and tools. And so everybody listening, I highly truncated the information to get the book out because at some point I just had to call it to get the information released. But now, from my perspective, I'm comfortable on editing the websites, expanding them where I got links and graphics that I can reference this, that, and the other. So I'm going to kind of, open up on the naturalbeekeeperspath.com website and expand it far beyond the book. But I will be integrating the new stuff in the next releases of the book as well in the future. And that'll just be an ongoing thing. But I did want this out on the website. So I'll be expanding this is what I'm really getting at here. Because a lot of the stuff when I get in, so Nancy and Mark, when I talk about the scientific observations and tools, well, that was a whole book in itself. But I just had to reference it because that's not what this book was about. It wasn't about everything beekeeping. It was, again, natural beekeeper's path. And so, but watch on the website, everybody, because regardless when you listen to this, it'll continually expand. So they're also recording bees. They've got, and I'm looking real quickly to see, because here's the other issue I'm getting into, you guys, is when we're going through this, there's about 20 other subtopics in the scientific observation and tools section that I thought about, had in the early draft, moved out, didn't do so. And then I'm thinking about that. So I'm trying to have to watch what I say here, or remember if it made the book. So I'll just kind of merge what I know together with this. But they're actually strapping little communication devices on bees, believe it or not. And it's not a great idea. So I'm not, saying it's a good thing. But the scientists are doing that to track them to see how far they go for this reason or that reason or the other, a way to monitor them. And a lot of them are broadcasting, a lot of them are just recording stuff. So it's not like their little Wi-Fi antennas on there, but they are doing all kinds of real-time remote things with bees, and not just bees, other critters. And it's, depending on how they do it, from my perspective, it could be a good thing because then you learn a lot more, and then you can take that knowledge and help the bees. Again, if it's all done right. And then I get in here and I talk about honoring the bees' language. It means listening to them before acting. Just let them guide you. So it's, the sense, the vibration, and the beehive smell. I can go out and there's no way I'm the only one because I don't think I'm doing it psychically, but I'm doing it with my smell, my sense of smell. So I can walk out in the woods and actually smell. And again, probably any beekeeper can do this because we're around hives so much, but there's a distinct, strong smell, of beeswax and or all the parts and pieces as it's being made. So, but the accumulation of scent of a beehive is a thing, and it's very distinct. The subtle differences, but it's a thing where you'll pick up on it. So I can walk out in the woods and actually smell it, and then just a wild one I'm talking about. So out in a tree or something like that, or a fallen log, and go find it. So that's one, and I don't get into that, I don't think, in the book as well, where I've done that around here, Nancy. I don't know if I've ever talked about it, but I do put in their little do-it-yourself bee trap where you can catch a wild swarm. But there's a lot more to that story as well. And that's what I was doing early on, finding waterways and putting out think just natural or wild traps and then bringing the bees to that beehive and hope they take to it sort of deal. I don't know how I jumped into that one there, but Mark and or Nancy, anytime, jump in, ask any question or slow me down if need be.
Yeah, I'll add to that. So you do have the book available in Amazon, but people should buy it on your mysticalwares.com site. And what I did was just go to the search function, and I typed in book. It shows all the books that you have, which is Nancy's book, your Shungite book, and then the beekeeping one. And that's how I bought it. Yeah, because Amazon shows like fastest deliveries Friday, and then Saturday's regular delivery. But supporting your work, people should go to your site, right?
Yeah, and that's where I'll actually maybe make a little bit of energy or money on it to help things going, keep the bees going. I got to go in a couple of days here and pick up, I don't know how many hundreds of dollars in additional bee equipment and frames because the Shanghai beehives are, which is great news, because they're doing so great that the hives are getting tall. They're, I don't know, probably, well, they're up on a tree stump right now, but again, they're several feet tall. But yeah, going to our website's the best way to support us. And or here in the next day or two, when I can access it, we're going to have a donation spot. We have it on mysticalwares.com website at the bottom already, where if you make a donation for five or whatever amount of money, you can it'll go towards the bees. And we're trying to do that now as well, to where we can bring in enough support, energy, donations, and we appreciate every dollar we get, to where we can buy maybe a bulk quantity of these new books, the Treatment-Free Beekeeper's Path, and then gift them to aware individuals that have an influence, that maybe are running beekeeping organizations, or maybe certain personalities that have a following that are open to learning things like this. But we do need that kind of support and donations, because it does cost money to get these books, and we appreciate anything you can do. So
Well,
on the go
explain
ahead.
sponsorships.
Yeah, and we've got, and that's gonna, I just took a drink of water, sorry. That's gonna also, so she's talking about the sponsorship for the Shanghai beehives, and all donations go to the bees, everyone, just so you know. But or and or again, the parts and pieces of the hive that I'll be picking up tomorrow and have already. So there is an option. It'll end up, this sponsorship option will go on the naturalbeekeeperspath.com website. So probably when you're listening to this, it'll be there. But it's already at mysticalwares.com, and that's an option to sponsor a Shanghai beehive, either a partial one or a full one. And in short, what that means is, yeah, you give a monetary donation. And for the partial one, I think it's $150. And basically, we group four people together to sponsor a hive, because there'll be multiple boxes on there, and many producing honey. And then if it's a full sponsor, it's $600. And then you would be the sole sponsor of that Shanghai beehive, regardless of how large it got. And we do let you choose a custom name if you're interested in doing that. And we do have a sponsor that's doing that, and some other really interesting things with his sponsorship hives. We'll talk about in another podcast, probably. I possibly have this individual on, but that's a thing as well, where you can sponsor and then just continue it. And depending, you never know how much honey you can get at the end of the season, if any at all. It again, there's so many variables there, and from year to year. But depending on the honey, we will send it out to the sponsors on a percentage of sponsorship level. And again, it could be a no honey, it could be a cup of honey, it could be gallon honey. I just no idea on that one. Just want to be full disclosure there. But and we do appreciate that, because and that's year round as well. So you'd be sponsoring the hive for the whole, not just season, but they do need support and maintenance all year long. I mean, the bees don't go anywhere, and there's still stuff that needs to be done, and they have to be maintained and taken care of. So, yeah, it really helps out in all those levels. And let me jump back to the bee
And
book.
then, especially for the consumer's point of view, you have graduation coming up, so that's a good gift, graduation gift. People going into the next level of college or vacation, their time off, traveling, and getting the Shanghai book and the beekeeping book, especially since you have a lot of spiritual chapters and a secret history of the bees in the new book that people, can get interested in, and just the best sellers on your site being like the Shanghai rubber pad, because people are more active during the summer, vacations and trips, what's good to b bring on an airplane, different cosmic silver bracelets, necklaces, so it's all sorts of, even the honey, so just keeping that perspective in mind with people's traveling plans, visiting friends and family, or those who just, it's too hot outside and they just want to be indoors all the time playing video games, watching TV, then they can get the Shungite magnet for like their favorite chair, and being too glued onto the TV, and at least biocompatibilizing those frequencies, artificial frequencies. People can get the scalar sticker, which, Derek, you have a whole new, what do you call it, like presentation or a wholesale purchase of that too.
We just released that here recently. So I think I ended up putting a package deal together. And you don't have to be a wholesaler, there's no special accounts. It's just a bulk deal, either of, and I'm talking about 75 sticker uncut sheets. So 75 stickers, which would be five sheets of 15 on each. And the way we're able to discount them so much, and I think it's typical price on the 75 Shungite. Silver Shungite Scalar stickers would be $750 or something like that if you bought them at $10 each, every one of them, which still isn't even a bad price because then you have enough to share with family, friends, get on every device you want, and you don't have to replace them. But by us not having a retail package on them and pay somebody to cut them all and size them just right to put them in there, and bulk them together, we got the price down. I think it was less than half. So it's like, I think $300. First, I don't have it up in front of me, for 75 of them, or you have a custom option if you have a business or you're an energy worker or you want your own logo or image on there, for 75 more. So for $375, you can get 75 exact same energy as our Shungite ones, but with your custom logo or image on the sticker. So yeah, we just put those online, and because it was a limited thing with distributors or wholesalers and things before, but with that many requests that we've gotten, that has released it and then again brought the price down less than half. So it's, I think, $4 a sticker about, if you buy them in bulk like that. So yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that. And then one last thing, actually, while I'm thinking about it, because I'm wearing one right now, is we have one size, I'm gonna call it, fits most. Oh geez, what's it even called? But an elbow wrap or brace that we slide Shungite rubber into. Our 5x7 inch piece fits in a little pocket that it has perfectly. Because I, this last year, damaged my elbow physically. And it's been a difficult thing to, keep wrapped because, your elbow moves and it's hard to keep a piece of Shungite rubber there because even that's what you have to ace bandage it. And so, long story short, after playing around with a lot of different elbow wraps, we found a really kind of high-end one that works well, that has that sleeve or pocket in it we needed for our Shungite rubber, and it works great. So those are available on the website now too, and they come with the Shungite rubber. So that's, and I usually on my desk here, and I have one still, is I, until this point, was having to take another piece of Shungite rubber and put it under my elbow, kind of where when I was using my mouse. But now that I have this elbow pad, I don't have to worry about it holding it in one spot anymore. So that's kind of convenient. Let's
Yeah, the
see.
rubber pad, I keep like a couple at home and a couple on the road, just 'cause like you're out traveling or at a restaurant and then eat something bad, get a stomach ache, and that's good to put on during the day or overnight. And for injuries too, any kind of back aches, accidents, the pad's great for that. So it's always good to have around. And you never know when someone close to you has that same, life just happens, and just have that ready, preventative.
Yep, we use it all the time for our pets as well. Yep, absolutely. I'm scrolling through this book trying to find Nancy, or one of you two mentioned, oh geez, now I gotta find the
We
chat.
had a World Bee Day last week, right? And that's when you premiered the book. Any past history with you on World Bee Day that has happened? Because you're in contact with beekeepers around the world who use Shungite, if there's any testimonials or stories on that, or anything in particular of World Bee Day that you want to highlight.
Yeah, and that is, well, actually, quickly bringing it back to my book as well. That was just true synchronicity. I had no idea. I was so busy, as I always am. I had totally forgotten that it was World Bee Day on the 20th. So that was just unusual. And I happened to, all I knew was in my head over the, I don't know, like 3 days before that, I was being pushed, just, okay, gotta get the book done. And I'm like, wow, why am I being so pushed in my head to do this? And then it all gets together, finalized, and done. And I'm ready to, I'm like, well, shoot, I might as well go ahead and just publish. And then all of a sudden, I see on Facebook somebody says something about, World Bee Day. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It was, and then all unfolded for me. So it wasn't a planned thing. And because of that, and just the true, coincidence, and it wasn't the synchronicities of it, I decided, well, we're just going to gift it out for free. Because initially, I was just going to sell it, paperback. And I'm like, well, this isn't about me. It's about energy and the bees. The information needs to be shared. And not just, if you have the, I think we're selling for $17 on the website and Amazon too. That, so PDF full version, not truncated, is available for free. And as I update the book, and I will be doing that, the website will be updated, the PDF download will be updated, all kept for free on there. But we do, again, appreciate you purchasing a paperback version, especially from Mystical Wares, to help support us that way. But regardless, we wanted the information out. So it was kind of cool how it lined up to be on World Bee Day this year. And I put a little note of that in the PDF download. As far as others do, there's not really, so here locally, which is would be the beekeepers I talk to, or some in other countries, but not a lot's really done on that. It's more news media, so it's not like a beekeepers will host a big event or something like that. We're usually too busy, or you don't have people will say that would necessarily show up to something like that. It's a unique situation. So really, and I don't really mean it in a negative way, but World Bee Day is a virtual thing online, draw attention, which is great, draws attention, and gives people like me, inspiration to write books, release books, information, talk about it, do podcasts like this. But as far as events, I don't really know of any. I'd have to look online and see too, but.
Well, do you know when this began?
I can tell you in about 2 minutes because I'm logged in right now. When was the first World Bee Day? And I'm just on ChatGPT right now. And the first Bee Day was, 2018. Yeah. It's established by the United Nations to raise awareness of the importance of pollinators.
Wow, that's interesting because we got together. Well, in 2017, but
Yeah, you're right. We were doing highs and all that on, huh?
okay, one of the reasons that well I Derek started getting being able to focus on the bees again, but then I jump at him and I'm like, we gotta do something about the bees, and it was like because when I wrote Shungite Reality, one of the chapter things was on the sixth extinction event. And back in 2017, I first stumbled into this. And it was people, it started out with Germany, as far as I know. It was the first time I saw the test or the experiment that they did. Somebody decided it didn't seem like there was as many insects in this one area. It was like a natural reserve. So they sent in vehicles with essentially nets on the top of them to just drive down the street and get a count on the number of insects. And it absolutely scared the crap out of the people because it was way, way down from what it had been. And that started a number of different areas really looking at the population of not just the bees, but insects in general. And worldwide, it's awful, absolutely awful. When I was doing it and what was happening with the researchers there on the ground all over the place was that you could say it could be a loss of habitat, but in a lot of these areas, they were really doing the studies. There was no real habitat loss. It was still pretty stable. Or it could be, chemistry. So they looked at the things that they thought it could be, but they weren't looking at that time at electromagnetic energy. And that's what I was, because I'm into it, that's what I was looking at. So it's so bad they didn't know what to do about it. They didn't weren't even sure really what was happening. And I remember this one scientist said, "Oh, I'm leaving. I'm going home and I'm going to live out my life with my children. There's nothing I can do about this. You know, we're doomed." And I thought, oh, that's kind of a bad way of looking at it. But the reality is that it died down for a while, or maybe I just wasn't seeing it. But all of a sudden, I was just watching the television, and up comes the concept of the bees again, because they're our favorite things, bees and butterflies. So everybody looks at them, but the other things, not so much. And is shungite the answer for everything? Yes, in my opinion. But it's also limited by what it can do regarding, you know, the environment and what's around us. But what I really appreciate about this one guy I heard talking about it, and he sees primarily butterflies. He said that the only way that we're really going to get a handle on this is if everybody jumps on board and starts making their lawn instead of grass into a natural habitat, even if it's just small yard, into a natural habitat, not just for bees and butterflies, but for the insects in general. That's where we have to start fighting right now, is block by block, house by house. And one of the things that he said that I, you know, you don't even think about is that if you can do this yard by yard, the yards become one area of life for the insects. So it's not just your yard now. Now it's expanded. And they have pathways now of traveling to other places. So I asked Derek, I said, you know, Derek, and he in the first drafts of it, he had talked about this, but then and I didn't even get to the that section, so now that I think about it. But can you tell people what they personally can do to make a difference? Even if it seems small, a lot of pennies make up dollars.
Yeah, as far as anybody personally to make a difference with helping pollinators, bees, I mean, there's a God, I can write a book on that one as well. But real, in your face, you actually do something outside of donations, like I mentioned, that can help support the shungite beehives and other projects like that, would be to help your local bees and put out bird baths or bee baths. I'm going to begin, believe it or not, Nancy, pouring some of our own concrete and plaster shungite bird bee baths here at Mystical Wares. I'm working on getting actually, I'm gonna have to build my own, but a mold on that. I'll be doing that later after the podcast. But with shungite blended into it, and they're only gonna stand about a foot and a half tall, because again, for the bees, and you can put it on something else, this mini bird bath. So doing things like that, putting a bird bath. You don't have to have the ones I'm talking about, but I'm just saying we're gonna be doing something like that. You can get a local, I mean, you can get a bowl of your own or something out there. You don't want it too deep. You want to be able to put rocks in it or something. So if you don't necessarily have a bird bath or a space for one, let's say you live in an apartment building and you have a little 6 foot by 10 foot deck on your back porch. Even if you're on the second or third story, it doesn't matter. You can put a little, like a teacup dish. I'm just trying to give you an idea to visualize a shallow little saucer dish or something. Put some shungite nuggets in there and keep it full of water. And yes, bees fly several stories up in the atmosphere. So they'll definitely visit you even if you're in a higher building like I'm talking about now or down low. But things like that will make a difference for the pollinators, not just bees, but other ones. So that's something I would do. And then do what Nancy had mentioned. You don't have to go tear up your whole lawn and start excavating everything. But yeah, let the dandelions grow wherever you see them. They're not weeds. They're medicinal plants and they're edible and again, medicinal. Every part and piece of it is. Even if you're not using it, the bee will use it and it'll help them medicinally as well. It's just how nature works. Or instead of grass, plant clover. And that grows. You can buy bags of those seeds, throw it, and it's really pretty. It sprouts flowers. You never have to mow it. Your lawn, that space in front of your house, is green, if that's what you like. I actually kind of prefer the whole Arizona deal where it's all just rocks and gravel myself. But yeah, no, if you live in an area where you have lawns, you have those options. So that's something you can do.
When I have a delay in mowing the front of the house, and it's normally because of the rain here in Florida, it's not enough rain, so it's just kind of dirt desert. But the rain can come in, and you could have just, a couple of days of just downpour, and all of a sudden everything turns green. But it's a natural wildflower. And when it happens like this, you can see the bees are attracted to it. Not so much the butterflies, but definitely the bees. And so I don't mow it. And then my neighbors are like, "Why won't you mow?" "Well, because I'm feeding the bees." "What?" It's like, yes, this wildflower. So people look and they say, "Oh, I got all these weeds." Maybe they're not weeds. Maybe they're natural plants that the insects will live on, and you're tearing them out. When you've got an area of weed, look at it. Watch it before you destroy it, and see if it's not attracting different butterflies and bees and stuff. Just something I've observed.
Yep, just let all that stuff grow. Yeah, exactly. I mean, where you can. So what you're asking me about things people can do. So things like that. I mean, and/or you can get into the, and there's a whole chapter on it in the new book and/or website on mason bees and/or carpenter bees. So bees that live in little burrows or holes. So that's a type, and they're stingless, and they actually pollinate a whole lot better than honeybees. So that's they you can buy a mason bee house at a local farm and garden store or a hardware store, and they have them. They look like little bird houses, but with a bunch of tubes in them. Usually little bamboo shoots or artificial ones. Try and keep it natural, but the bamboo ones, and then you can buy that and just nail it up on your back fence. Just a few feet off the ground would probably be best. So about head height or lower, so 6 to 2 feet, and then keep some water on the ground near them so they don't have to go far. And if these little, and everybody has them in their area because every state has mason bees, they'll be attracted there. So you don't necessarily have to go buy any or anything like that. If you have the empty house and the water supply down close by and a bee comes by, well, they're going to move in. So then you can attract them that way. And then you know that they're in your backyard. So whatever you grow from that point on, you've got your own little pollinators. And then, of course, even on those bee houses, shungite them. You can shungite paint the exterior. What I used to do is take little small chips of shungite nuggets or small shungite nuggets and just push them between the little tubes or bamboo shoots in there. Again, there's different types of those kind of houses. There's even houses nowadays that you can buy. Some will have, it's called old man's beard or usonia. It's also a medicinal, like moss, like not moss. I think it's a lichen that grows up here in the trees and kind of hangs from them. It's why they call it old man's beard. But anyway, they'll take that, and then they'll take sometimes different sized holes drilled in wood put with the mason bee houses. So what I'm saying is here and trying to describe is sometimes you can buy those houses with rooms for different bugs. So one of them is maybe built for butterflies, one's for ladybugs, one's for mason bees, and they will all go in those different ones. So there are that type you can purchase as well, I've seen around.
Well, one of the things they say about mason birds, bugs, bees, is to have an area where they can get the mud.
Yeah, if you can clear the ground down below, I mean, you can go get some mud, you can go down to a creek, river, whatever, so get some mud or clay. And keep it down near the bottom of it and keep it moist. Yeah. So what I would do is I mount that mason hive on the fence or tree or whatever you got around there, and then clear away the ground cover if there is some. So let's say you got some grass or whatever there, pull it, move it away, get them access to the dirt, and then dump some water on there, keep it moist, and then put a little water tray of water nearby, I mean, what bee's not going to move in there? Now it's just a waiting game. And they'll get there. And again, depending on your environment, where you're at, how cold, but there are, geez, I think there's 135 types of mason bee. And they're not all identified either. So there's a lot, is what I'm saying. And every state, like I said, has them. So, I mean, you can buy them online. So if you really just want to jumpstart it, you can buy the larvae online. They'll come chilled. And that's a whole chapter in itself I did not add, where at the end of the season, on these little mason bee houses, the tubes I'm talking about, you can pull out the tube, open it up, pull out the egg and or larva, and then you stick it in your fridge, your vegetable drawer of your fridge. That's about the perfect temperature. And now, because of whatever changes are happening in the world, where seasons are maybe summers, winter's lasting too long, or summer started earlier, or a false summer, or whatever thing is happening in your environment. The reason I'm bringing that up is, well, now you've got control of these mason bees that are in the temperature control part of your vegetable drawer, so the lower part of your fridge, and they'll only start to, start moving around and kick when they get to a certain temperature. So then you wait it out in your area, and then go put the eggs back into the tubes, and they'll start, hatching from there and growing. So that's an option. Or like I was kind of, because I go fast, I was saying you could also buy those eggs or larvae online from, and there's one here I've talked to him, Nancy. Remember, that was years ago. We tried to get him to use shungite on hundreds of mason bee houses. I think it was crown bees or something like that. Dave, it's weird, I remember his name. I'll have to contact him. But you can do that. So keep it with shungite and then introduce them back into the hives in the right temperature zone.
Well, another reason to have bees is that it's a barometer and a weather forecaster. Tell people about that. That's fascinating.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, you can, the bees will know, they're little natural meteorologists. They get all their cues, and their whole rhythm of the hive is based on atmospheric cues, be it sunlight, the angles of the sun, the shifts in humidity. So, I mean, obviously they're very aware and heightened to the atmospheric changes, be it temperature, wind, sunlight, or lack of, or abundance of any of those. And they know what's going on, and they can read the weather. They'll feel the shifts in the atmospheric pressures out there, and they'll know a storm's coming in before any of us know it. And then they'll start heading back to the hive, or things like that. And then the pitch in the hive will change. Again, I'm not sure what all of this made into this book, but it will all make it into the website as I keep enhancing it. But even the feel of the hum of the hive changes depending on the weather. So they could not just approach storms approaching, but rain. And that matters, because imagine the size of a raindrop that is sometimes even bigger than a bee in a lot of cases, getting hit by that. Well, I mean, that hurts a bee, damages a bee, breaks wing. I mean, it's not good stuff. So they're really aware and heightened to that stuff coming in for that reason, so they can make it back to the hive out of harm's way. And just imagine billions of years of doing that. And I'm sure a lot longer than that in different areas. And then the temperature, so even the inside, yeah, they're feeling the pressures of the hive just like we can. Even if we're in our living room, if you stay aware enough, you'll feel shifts in energy around you. And yeah, it might be a storm coming in or something. Well, the bees in the hive also know that and can feel that. So they don't have to come out and check on the weather. They'll feel it in there, and then they'll also feel the temperature. So they'll have such a past of knowing the temperature differences in the hive on the time of day. I'm trying to figure out how to word this, that they'll, when this hive starts to heat up, of course, they're low. Well, that big bright thing in the sky that we call a sun is putting off enough heat, and they'll start moving around. So they'll pick up on literally just the temperature fluctuations as well. And depending on the bee and the location, about 65 degrees is when they'll come out and start foraging. And they'll come out before that, because I saw them come out the other day earlier, but it's usually for cleansing flights and things like that, going to the bathroom, and then flying around and going back in, sort of deal. So that they will come out on other temperature differences, but usually they'll wait on that. I'm trying to think about what else. Maybe the wind, all of that matters, because I mean they do smell, and as you talked about, they smell through their feet. I mean, because of course they don't have a nose, so that's a thing as well. So they also have, of course, sight. I don't know that any of that made it into the book, because I did extensive research on a lot of this stuff, because again, nobody knows everything, and I hope all beekeepers realize that, because there's always more to learn, which is the point of the website. It's an evolving, learning of bees and tending them. So, trying to get where I was going with that one there. Oh, the sight, the eyes. Yeah, they can sense, Nancy, also, and Mark, the differences on the infrared spectrum. So, if a bee, or I mean, a certain flower has been visited by another bee within so many hours, well, they can read that from a flower from a distance as well. So that's something they work with, so they don't waste their time going to, or it's not just in the case of a bee goes to a flower, it's not doesn't have anything else for the next however many hours or days. That's not always the case either. So you can usually be visited many times. So if you start going outside saying, "Well, wait, Derek, blah blah blah," well, there's a lot of pollen and/or nectar on many flowers. So, but they'll know when it's been emptied enough, and then not go there. So yeah, that's basically they'll pick up on living weather, and they'll know by that when, of course, when because they don't have little calendars, so they'll pick up on the fluctuations in the atmospheric and barometric temperatures and how long the mornings are, and it's taking longer for the day to heat up. So that tells them it's fall or winter. They better start packing their honeycomb or pantry for the winter and all that. So no, it's they just look at our physical reality a little bit differently than we do. And they go with it, which is what I talk about in the book, is don't force the bees, don't go out there and uncover them or cover them up, as often as some beekeepers are doing, meaning let them regulate themselves as much as you can, as long as you haven't put them in a compromised situation or a shoddy beehive box with holes or something like that, or something different. They can take care of themselves. They need to, acclimate, you can say. So, and they'll go off of their environment.
Another magical thing that I came across, you talk about it there, is that as the winter approaches, the drone bees actually change their physiology so that they live longer. Is that what's all that about?
Well, yeah, because they're not gonna live through the winter. Those get all, they kill them off. So once winter comes, they kill them off. They literally kill them and they'll shove them out of the hive. So you'll have a bunch of the drones down there. And then in the springtime, they'll start making the drones again. Because by that point, and the drones are the boys. So they don't want them around all winter long eating honey, to be honest. I can word it lots of different ways, but that's what's going on. So they'll change themselves so they will live longer as long as they can and still, do whatever job they need to do at the time. But yeah, no, they change their physiology. I mean, I think every living creature does.
Worker bees,
Yeah.
they actually change their physiology so that they can.
All of them do, depending on the job they're doing. The queen as well. I mean, really, every living being changes to one degree or another, whether we know it or not.
Well, I saw this thing on the monarch butterflies, and they go down to, was it Costa Rica? I can't remember now, but Central America, and they go into this forest, and they're just, I mean, billions of them. Well, when those babies get ready to go back up north and they get to be a butterfly, they live for a very short period of time. They actually have to make more babies, and it takes 3 generations to go to their area up north from south. So every phase of the bee lasts longer. And the ones that come back, they do it in all one flight. They're so strong and, super butterflies. They can go the whole distance in one generation.
Yeah, that's what bees do. So the winter bees, well, I mean, typical bees live month, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks, something like that. And that's normal ones. But in the time of winter, no, they'll live, they'll start to change their bodies physiologically. So they'll live 4 to 6 months or something like that. again, depending on where you live. So, because they're not going to regenerate the bees over the winter, so they have to have the bees that are there last longer. The numbers are smaller because they get rid of the drones, but that's what they do. So, yeah, they get larger. I mean, just like anything else, they become larger and stop burning as much energy because they're not out flying and stuff during the winter. They'll go out for cleansing flights, as it's called, or going to the restroom. I mean, go right back in. But there's no flowers in the winter. They're not harvesting, whether you have snow or not, there's not flowers. So they're not getting things. But yeah, they definitely change.
And one other thing I wanted you to talk about was using the propolis, what it is and everything. And the reason for that is that we're trying to get this information out to for people that want to do it this year, right now. This is when you do all this. And you talk about the propolis, but you also recommend that you use rough sawn and unplaned wood because of the qualities of it being protecting the. Go into that. You know what I'm talking about? It's on page 99.
Yeah, I'm in that area now, so I'll just kind of jump all over the place in the propolis and what they're doing. But yeah, bees will use the propolis, and they'll basically lightly coat the entire interior of the hive, or use larger amounts. It's like a you can call it bee glue. It's medicinal. There's a lot of things to propolis, but they do build it, and they'll if there's a hole in the hive, they'll fill it with that to stop the hive from air leaks or things like that. It's calms the hive. It's the medicinal properties. Well, for bees and humans, it's antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, antioxidants, it's anti-inflammatory. So anti all the bad stuff for bees and humans, because it actually contains over 300 compounds within propolis. So 300 different ingredients to make what we call propolis. And some of those ingredients, yeah, they gather and pick, but some they put together, we'll say, inside themselves. And when all is said and done, the bees make, again, what's called propolis. And a lot of people will buy it and put it in drinks or eat it. My dad used to do that. He'd eat bee, raw bee pollen. He'd buy it by the bag. Just a little, because there's, I won't get too much into this either, but there's little devices you can attach to a hive the bees have to pass through that will yank the pollen off their, and it's not a good idea, yank the pollen off their legs. And then you collect that, and some people eat it. Why it's not a great idea is because a percentage of the bees walking through these little holes, like a screen door, think of it like that, they can just fit through. But if they have fat pollen pouches on their legs, they can't fit. So the screen yanks off the pollen. And every so often, a bee loses a leg as well. And you'll see that in the pollen you buy. So it's definitely harmful for the bees and not a great thing. I don't remember exactly what. So they'll
Well,
do.
yeah, because we 'cause the pollen makes their food, honey.
And yeah.
So, we're not at we don't want you to go out and do that. We don't want you to do that. A lot of people go out and they do this stuff and they don't realize the damage that's being done to the bees themselves.
That's why I mentioned this stuff too. That's why I bring it up. I don't skirt around. I let people know what they're doing. And even like it's certain years that they'll kill the queen. Some beekeepers will literally go out there and just pinch the queen, they call it, and just kill her. So they generate a new one that has stronger genetics, blah, 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 goes on from there. That does not make sense. Again, that's a whole nother, again, book in itself, but a lot of people do different things. So I'll say, like it just is not a good idea. I'm telling you how it's done. Doesn't mean do it, but you need to know that it is a thing that happens to bees. And that's where that stuff comes from. Because people will go into a store or a little farm market and see a little plastic container full of bee pollen. I think, well, that's great. It's great immune boost. It's good stuff. Yep, all of that's, but how'd they get it? And there's not another option. They're not asking the bees to leave one of the pouches at the door as they enter. Not a thing. Yeah, it's gathered that way. And then the bees don't have enough for the winter or themselves. So then the beekeeper goes, well, that's okay. I'll artificial feed them. And that's not a good idea because there's metals, there's toxins, there's stuff in sugars and syrups and fake honey. So anyway, yeah. Leave the bees alone. Let them do their thing. The properties of so we're still talking propolis here. I told you there's antibacterial, antifungal, all that stuff. There are ways you can gather propolis and things. When you were talking about the rough or sown or unplaned wood, you can use that on the inside of your hive to give the bees a spot to put or store or build up propolis. Now that's a more natural way of gathering in. I know I'm jumping from gathering and or collecting pollen to propolis, but there are good ways of doing these things, and one of them is again the right kind of wood, not completely smooth on the inside of the hive. There's rougher ones you can get. There's even little wooden grids. They're called different things. I don't get too much because this is an audio show, so I can't show images right now. But little things you can put in that will encourage the bees to put propolis in there, and then you can extract it from that without doing any damage. And then there's yeah, I mean they call traps is what they call propolis traps, where it'll harden on there. I'm skimming down through the book now. And again, if either one of you have any questions, let me know. I'm trying to think of other things you asked. I mean, I don't want to get into all of what propolis is used for, but yeah, it's basically it's bees medicine and masonry material. They use it for lots of things, and it helps keep the hive healthy because and they coat the hive, by the way. I don't think I mentioned this. It's a light, subtle coating on the interior of the hive of propolis that most you can't even see because it's such a light coating, for the antimicrobial, antibacterial, all those properties, which is also the reason I preempt them and spray colloidal silver. I like to do at least 30 parts per million. Just spray it, put in a mister spray bottle, and before you introduce bees to the hive, or if they're already in a beehive, the additional boxes as you're adding them, spray the whole inside of it. You can spray the outside too if you want, but definitely get the inside. And then as that light spray coating of colloidal silver water evaporates, the minuscule little nanoparticles of silver are stuck and embedded in those rough or not so smooth insides of the wood. And they'll sit there, and then the bees will eventually kind of cover that up. And now on the outside, you should already, if you're aware, you should have shungite paint. So now, literally from the inside out, the inside's encapsulated with silver and propolis of the beehive. And then the outside is encapsulated or coated with shungite and silver in case of shungite paint. And then, yeah, you got the whole Faraday cage effect plus the healing environment inside. So that's how I would do that. And anything else you add to your. So I didn't mention this. There's a whole lot I didn't mention. As you add an additional box, which again, we'll be doing here in a few days. Yeah, I'm gonna spray the inside with colloidal silver, and I've already painted the outside of the box, like I said, shungite paint. But each of those boxes, in my case of my Langstroth hives, there's 10 frames. And some Langstroth hives are 8 frame, but I have 10. So I'm gonna take each of those 10 frames and then colloidal silver treat them with just that colloidal silver as well before I put them in the hive. Just in case there's whatever on there, you never know as far as that. So give them a starting point.
And for beekeepers or anybody else, you can make your own colloidal silver. You can find all the directions online. It's a lot cheaper to buy the mechanism that actually makes the colloidal silver than to continually pay for, bottles of it. Especially if you're going to be, well, once you get into colloidal silver, it doesn't make sense except to have your own ability to make it. So, Mark, did you have anything you wanted to add to this discussion?
No, I haven't gotten too much into the book yet. So, whenever you guys change topics, I'll ask a couple things.
Okay. Before we leave the subject, give them the website again, and on the website they can get a PDF free download of the PDF. And personally, it's probably better to have the books. You can get them through Amazon or Mystical Wares. But if you know anybody that is a gardener, they should have this information. And if you're looking for a good gift at any time of the year, when you think of somebody that does gardening or is interested in this, they'll be interested in this book. So it's a great gift option too. But you want to give the website again that where they can actually get the download?
Yeah, and like she said, there is a free PDF download, and it's thenaturalbeekeeperspath.com. Beekeepers is plural there. So, and that's where the whole book, I also unraveled it on the web page or the website on multiple web pages. So you can go through the chapters there. And again, I'll be expanding that too, because I didn't really have time to get everything in there. I mean, there's a whole nother section on shungite and plants and bees and working those three ingredients together and how they can benefit. But that'll end up on the website. And then, yeah, if you can purchase the book, a hardback version, but even that, don't let it slow you down. Get the free PDF and send it out that way as well, so we can get the information out there. I don't know. We're at, what, an hour and 15 right now, Nancy. I don't know if, was there more on those topics, and maybe we save the rest.
Yeah, you know, I'm cool with it. You know, I mean, we're just over the hour a little bit. Did you have anything, you know, specifically kind of associated with this part of the, I mean, this discussion, or did you want to get into, I mean, if we want to end it after this, the most important thing is to let people know about the bees. That's all I, you know, everything else is it's great information, but I really want them to focus on what they can do personally right now to bring in bees.
And because this won't be up, I'll have additional sections of the new website up. Again, the naturalbeekeeperspath.com. I'm going to have other resources on there, information, not just the book, reproduced on the website, but more information and links and how-tos on what you can, like Nancy says, do now kind of thing, and what you can build with directions. I've got a lot of stuff in the background just waiting for me to put it up on the website that will help you do that. And then just, again, for the listeners, let anybody, send them to the website. Let them read it themselves, whether on the website, or the PDF, or order the book, whatever. But just share it out, please. Anybody that's interested in bees, they don't have to be a beekeeper, or even want to be, because there's a lot of really good information in there that's really interesting. I mean, did you know that, like we said, bees can smell through their feet? I mean, how crazy is that? And that's just a small part of this stuff like that I'll be introducing and helping you become more aware of. And then again, if you're a master gardener, you don't be a master gardener. If you're a gardener, if you got that gardening group or something like that, share this information too, and help encourage people to learn more about the bees, and that's going to help their gardens. No, we
And
can.
if you know anybody out there that is influential, a podcaster, a local activist, whatever, you know, see if you can't get a hold, you know, find out how we can get them this information. And a lot of people, they want to see a book. So that's why, you know, Derek is asking people to donate right now so that he can buy the book. You know, in a printed form, and then be able to give it to people. So if you know somebody and you say to yourself, God, this guy really needs it, and you don't have the money to buy it, try to make it happen that they know about us. You're gonna have a website. I'm sorry, you're gonna have a specific kind of coupon for people that. Maybe you're a podcaster or one of these type I'm talking about who can actually go and order it. So they don't have to put out any money, but they can directly order it from you, right? With a specific coupon.
Yeah, I'll be putting that together in the coming days on a way to do that. If we find the right people, and that's why she's mentioning the donation thing, which is the best way, then we'll have the books. We'll all be able to order them in bulk at author's prices, so I can get them cheaper, and then send them out that way straight from Mystical Wares with information. So that's the kind of the route we're hoping to go, and that's where your donations will help out. And at this moment, again, the donation box is at the very bottom of mysticalwares.com webpage. And barring any other editing issues this morning, I'm going to get that same donation box on the naturalbeekeeperspath.com website as well. And it's going to help the bees and help get this initial, influx of books, so we can send it to those people that can maybe make a difference. And then for the wider net, that's why I did the PDF free, so it can just go out everywhere and anywhere. Download it, share it for free, and all the initial information's in there.
Have you thought of making like a YouTube summary or highlights of the book? Maybe like a little audiobook version, something like that.
All that's going to be done. There's going to be short videos on the website. And I do stuff pretty quickly. This entire website and everything was made yesterday afternoon. And even from the idea on to the domain being just all of it. So all, and yes, I have huge plans on my notes back here behind the scenes. I like to reference, of things like that that are going to be on there. How-to videos, current videos and or updates of the Shanghai beehives for this season. And it will, yes, tie into YouTube shorts, as in shorts videos as well. So all that's going to happen, and knowing me, pretty darn quickly.
Yeah, I attended this New Living Expo a few weeks ago. It's like the Northern California version of the Conscious Life Expo that LA has. And they usually have a Shungite guy, and he wasn't on this year. He was on last year, and I gave him Nancy's book. I figured that it would be perfect if you could be on there next year. It's usually sometime in like late April, early May. And then, of course, the Conscious Life Expo, that would be huge, you know. As far as promoting the store and the books, so people can see you in person.
Yeah, and that's, I'm jotting a note down now, so I'll see what I can do there. And for any listeners too, if there's any other, not, it doesn't have to be as big as the Conscious Life Expo, but I'll attend that one and or smaller ones or anywhere in between. Then they don't have to be just energy or metaphysical oriented like that. They can be beekeeping organizations or talks. I mean, I have information will travel. I'll make fun of it that way, but let me know because I am willing, especially on the West Coast, to travel. Now, I can go further, but I'd have to talk about, having to get some donations and help with expenses. But no, I'm willing to go. Really, I've got my passport to whatever country. It's just an energy thing in terms of finances. But I'm all about talking about Shungite and sharing that information. So if you have any connection, I'm still talking just to listeners here, to organizations or expos like this, and you got an in somewhere that we can try, please do share our information. I would love to go and speak and talk bees and Shungite. And we can probably what
I
wrap
mean, but people can access your website with the updated information, and there's the PDF, the books available, Mystical Wares and Amazon, but preferably a purchase at Mystical Wares. And you do have a YouTube page, any other social media page?
Really, so Facebook, I get on there a lot, and then YouTube will be expanding. So if you check us out on YouTube right now, it's the Mystical Wares YouTube channel. But again, there's going to be the Natural Beekeeper's Path YouTube channel coming out once I get enough going on the website. So again, depending on when you're listening to this, go ahead and search now. Maybe I've already got it up, but there will be videos coming out.
And for our listeners, remember, there's a lot of bad things that happen in life, that this is a bad thing that you can do something about. So I highly, I'm pushing you. I'm begging you. We can stop the collapse, the biosphere collapse that's going to kill us all. And if something doesn't happen, it's going to kill us all. That's just a fact. So right now you get involved in it, get your kids involved in it. Go to the local schools. Talk about it. The information is there. All you need to do is to get committed to this. I can't even push it enough. So yeah, I think that we've done what I wanted to do, which was to give people right now something they can do to stop something that could, change everything. And to get there's so much that goes into it, especially with children. I was watching this documentary on pollinators and seeing how kids just aren't afraid of insects for the most part. They get fascinated with them. And they were doing all the pollinators, so this, I'm just going to leave it there. Mark, did you have something else you wanted to?
Yeah, let me give an example of what I'll be doing. So I'll be buying extra books from Derek, and I'm a member of Catherine Austin Fitz's membership, solari.com, I think it is, and she does have a snail mail address for members if they want to send any kind of, book or whatever gifts, because she does do meet and greets for a membership. And I'm putting together, helping put together a local gathering here, West Coast, and I'll be bringing, getting people's emails and bringing books of the Shungite and giving them like free Shungite stuff, rock stickers, ideas. And it's like that where, you're in these online groups and sometimes they have meetups, and then even like not to get political, but say like a Trump rally or something like that, they do these flag things. And so even if you're not for the certain politician, it's an opportunity to what are the other local things of like Weston A. Price Foundation. They're big on environment. That's another big local thing too. There's local chapters for that, even like Facebook groups for the local chapters. And then you have these art and wine festivals, all these festivals going on every weekend. Farmers market, always have an extra stash in your car. You never know who you'll run into. And yeah, all it takes is one person to make a difference. So, yeah, get it out there. It's fun too. And you make a new friend or like find out they're into something else that you didn't know. So, it's part of the discovery for me.
Okay, shall we end it now?
Yep, and we'll talk some more bees in probably the next episode.
We're gonna stay on the bees. We gotta. All right, thank you all for being here. You guys want to say bye to the audience?
Yeah, appreciate you all being here. Thank you.
Yeah, good to see you, everybody. Check out the Rumble channel, Shungite Reality Facebook group, and Derek's weekly Scalar Healing at mysticalwares.com.
And podcasts. We've got podcasts on, Shungite Reality podcasts. So thank you all for being here. Be safe. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.